Morning, Vaisai. So we are actually just a few words away from the conclusion of Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the Chavos Levavos concludes the Shaar in chapter 6 over here, that a person who doesn't live life mechanically and thinks about everything he says before he says it, and thinks about everything he does before he does it, doesn't act impulsively, and before any word or action he considers whether this is in tune with the will of Hashem, whether it will offend Hashem or not, whether it will hurt a person, you know, the human being or not. That person will live a very calm, tranquil life. Nafshoi moitzeis margoa. Then his soul will be at peace even while he is alive. And he's a person who will not be plagued by all the worries of this world and by all of the incessant desires and ambitions which don't give men any rest. So this level is the highest, he says, the highest level of knowledge of God. You think the knowledge of God would mean something very mystical, something very esoteric? No. It means, knowledge of God means living with God every second and thinking about what is the will of Hashem. It's very simple. It's nothing mystical. And a person really knows this. Just everything we think and do, we stop for a second. That person truly is davek b'avodasai. This person truly is firmly attached to the service of Hashem, both inside and out. And he can fulfill the chayvus alavavas and the chayvus evarim. This person will discharge the duties of the heart and the duties of his limbs without much effort. Rather, he'll do it with diligence and with speed and with utmost dedication. Like David HaMelech says in Tillim, in Kapitel Kuf Yutes, chashti v'loy hismamoti, I have speedily, without any delay, without any hesitation, I have guarded and fulfilled your commandments. And David HaMelech has many other references to it. So he concludes and says, O Elokim Berachmav, Yosem Eschalkeinu Ben Tzadikim Oisem Zois, V'yazer Lono Likolel, Bakat Shalahem, Amen. May the Rabbi Shalom put our portion, our way of life, our lot, together with the lot of the tzaddikim, who live in the fashion of the Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and may the Rabbi Shalom always keep us in their company, and that's the constant prayer of a tzaddik. So that's how it ends. But I would not want to end on such a quiet note. A little too power for us. We like jolts every week over here, something powerful. So I just want to review some of the cheshbonos. We spent a year on this, mind you. We started this right after the Yom Neroyim last year. So I just want to go through a few of the salient points. Let's see what we can go through over here. So there were many cheshbonos. The 30 were not the whole shaar, but there were some points that were very powerful. One point was the concept he has here in. Yes. Here in the middle of the Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, in the 10th Cheshbon, he tells us something which maybe is a general thought we should have in mind, that we know, he says, that we always want to make our best impression if we're in the presence of a person who controls our life. So if a person would go in front of the king and his life is in the hands of the king, he would want to make the best impression and dress in the best finery and have no stains and no rips in his clothing. But we stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we should know that the Rabbeinu Shalom's primary vision and his looking at us is not at what we look like on the outside. The main thing is what we look like on the pnimius, on the inside. So a person, we are chayavim l'skashe l'tnei l'him b'chitzon yoseinu u'b'pnili yoseinu. It's not enough, of course, on the outside also we must come to shul, dress properly, sit at the Shabbos table, dress properly, make sure that our tefillin are the proper tefillin, not scratched, and busted, and the ritzuas are the right size, and the tzitzis are decent, good tzitzis. Make sure our talus is nice and clean. If talus is old and dirty and sweaty, that's not the kind of talus you want to use any day. Certainly not Shabbos or Shoshana. Rather, the outside is very important. But even more important, the Rabbeinu Shalom is looking at us on the inside. He is constantly x-raying us. And he's seeing what we really think about him. As the Navi Yirmiyahu says, Ani Adonai Choker Lev Boichen Kloyos, I am the God who analyzes your heart and tests your kidneys. Kidneys is a metaphor for your thought process. Just as the kidney filters the good out of the bad, so too the thought process. We have good thoughts and bad thoughts. Hashem tests our thought system for those which are good and bad. Which thoughts do we enjoy to keep in our mind, and we go over them again and again and again, and we think about them? Are those the clean thoughts or the dirty thoughts? Are those the good thoughts or the nasty thoughts? Hashem checks it out, and He knows the truth. And we are subconsciously thinking all kinds of things day and night that may very well be totally inappropriate. So Hashem is checking it out all the time. And it says in Mishlei, B'chol mokom eini Adonai tzofos, ro'im v'toivim. Every place we go, there is God. And His eyes are focusing on us to look for the bad and look for the good. And it says the Pasuk of Zechariah, Einei Adonai heima mishotetim b'chol aretz. The eyes of God are mishotetim. They are wandering, they are scanning all of the inhabited world. So a person has to be very aware of that. Hashem is watching us all the time. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. But if a person thinks about God all the time and has God be'ein sichlo, if we have God in the eye of our mind, in our mind's eye, be'ein sichlo, the mind's eye, and we're constantly in fear and dread of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we put God's will foremost in our lives, and we know He's watching us in the secrecy of our bedrooms and our washrooms and the secrecy of anything we do. Everything has to be according to His will. He's watching us under the covers. So if we have God in mind all the time, we always feel in our mind's eye that God, big brother, big father, is watching, then really we should be very happy. Instead of making us, big brother watching is like the metaphor for living in an authoritarian, tyrannical, dictatorship world where there's no freedom. That's if it's only big brother. But if it's big father, if it's Rabbeinu Shalom watching, then he says this should make us very happy. It should take away all sadness and fear from us. Because what should they fear most? We fear getting into an accident today, chashon, with our car. We fear pipe busting in the house and ruining our furniture and our whole house. Busted pipe. A friend of mine came home from vacation, had a great vacation in Florida. Comes in, his whole house is flooded, he's away for 2 weeks. And when he was gone, pipe busted, the whole house got ruined. Chas v'shalom, we worry about a bad report from the doctor. These are the things we worry about the most. But if we would be think a little deeper, a lot deeper, we'd realize the main thing is that we want to know that we're doing the purpose, fulfilling the purpose for which God created us. And He certainly created us not to do aveiros. So yesterday someone called me up, wanted to speak to me late at night. They told me, I have something to tell the Rav, but please don't call me up at 5 to 11. And try and make an appointment with me, et cetera. I said, so talk, let's talk right now on the phone, let's get it over with. No, you see, I can't talk because what I say might have some Lashon Hara in it. And I was Makabal and Kabbalah that I won't speak Lashon Hara every day from 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 o'clock a.m. That's my hour. So I can't speak now. I said, what? You're going to tell me Lashon Hara? I was Makabal at Sinai not to speak Lashon Hara 24 hours a day. It was only 1 hour. The whole day. So if it's Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear it any time. And if you think it's the Tuelas, you have to tell me something. If you ask me a question, I don't know what it is exactly, but if you judge that there's a very desperate need, so we'll have to discuss it and see whether it's Lashon Hara or not. But if it's Lashon Hara, it's 24 hours a day. So our main shaila all day should be, oy, it's an aveira. So we dread the doctor's reports, we dread the dentist's reports, how much work you have to do on our kids' teeth, how much those braces will cost. See everyone shaking their heads. Dread the cost of tuition, dread how much it costs to fix our cars, dread to see what the stock market did on Friday. These are the things we're worried about. And we don't want to look at the paper. Who wants to see what it did on Friday? So these are the things that we dread. But really we should dread doing an aveirat, speaking Lashon Hara, should be much more painful to us than all the other dreads that we have. So if a person has in mind, I must please Hashem, I dare not defy the will of Hashem, then this person will look at the world through God's eyes and not his own. And here he says the line, which I know some people love this line, that a person who lives that way will fulfill the pasuk in Mizmor Chav Gimel, right? The David Mizmor Hashem Roi Le'asor, the David Mizmor Psalm unto David, Hashem is my shepherd, I lack for nothing. And that person will be on the highest level of Hasidim, and even bigger than a tzaddik, a chassid's higher. It'll be a chassid, not just merely a tzaddik. And here's the line people like so much. V'yira b'liayin, this person can see without eyes. V'yishma b'loyoizen, he'll hear without ears. V'yadaber b'liloshen, he'll talk without a tongue. V'yagish b'advarim l'ichushen, he'll have sensitivity, and he'll sense things without the senses. Because since this person is thinking about Hashem all the time, and Hashem sees everything, but he doesn't really have eyes. It's only an anthropomorphic statement to say God has eyes. So if we look at the world, if our mind's eye has God in mind all the time, then we will adopt these out of this world, out of body, abilities of God to see without eyes, to hear without ears, to talk without a tongue. We'll be able to communicate to people non-verbally, just projecting thoughts upon other people. And we'll be able to feel things without actually coming in contact with them in their proximity. And the main thing, he says, a person who's living with God all the time will never, lo yimas b'afrat shel matzavo, will not be upset with the slightest detail of his situation in life. If I know without any doubt that everything's from God, then I accept everything 100%, and I never have disappointment, I have no fear, I have no panic, I have no depression, because I know everything is in the hands of the person who knows best and does the best, and that is the good Lord. And I say to myself, I don't want anything more. I don't choose myself anything that God wouldn't choose for me. And you know what? If this is where I am today, that's what the good Lord chose for me. So I'm in jail, that's what the good Lord chose for me. If a person's in the hospital, that's what the Lord chose for me. I'm in debt, that's what he chose for me. I'm deep in debt, that's what he chose for me. I'm in pain, that's what he chose for me. I didn't choose this. So who chose it? Someone who knows much better what's good for me than me, and that's God. Puts me in traffic, I'm not going to honk my horn, I'm not going to grit my teeth, I'm stuck in traffic for 3 hours. I didn't put myself here. Who put me here? Who put me here? The helicopter, the traffic helicopter didn't put me here. It's not because I'm so stupid that I didn't listen to the radio to find the right way to go. Hashem put me here. So this must be the best place. I'll take on my tillum, I'll say some tillum while I'm waiting in traffic. Thank heavens it's air-conditioned, the car. If it's not air-conditioned, and there's 5 screaming babies in the car, and they're throwing ice cream around, and jelly sandwiches, and peanut butter over the upholstery, no, whatever it is, I'm with God. I look at the world through God's eyes. This is what he wants. It just has to be the best. I do not despise anything. And my will and God's will are one. I only love the things God loves. I only hate the things God hates. I only disgusted by the things that God's disgusted by. If he's not disgusted, look at the same thing in the Torah that God's disgusted by jelly and peanut butter over my couch. Didn't say that in the Torah. So that's what the kids did. That's what you have dirty diapers over the place. There's garbage over the place. They're making a wreck. They're screaming. Can't sleep at night. Kids wake me up. It's not against his will. God, I don't know. I guess it is his will because he wants us to have kids. So it couldn't be so disgusting to him. He wants us to have a lot of kids, and a lot of kids, a lot of mess, a lot of expenses. So how can I be turned off? I'd be turned on by that. I'd be disgusted by Averis. I'd be disgusted by that. Maybe I, Chas V'Shalom, said a word that's against the will of Hashem. Maybe I didn't think Tznius or dress Tznius, or my wife didn't dress Tznius. I allowed it. My children not to dress Tznius. Maybe I let into my house entertainment doesn't belong here. Maybe I let a television into my house, which is disgusting to God, the abomination, without any excuses. Maybe I let a video into my house, which God doesn't want. Maybe, you know, I mean, a lot of schmutz in my house. God doesn't want these books in my house, these magazines in my house. It's time to start thinking, maybe these magazines don't belong here. What do I need this for? What are these kind of pictures around? Who needs it? Who needs all this stuff? This radio program is not for God. It's disgusting what they talk about on the radio. So let's think about what God's disgusted. Not what I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted to say the Torah. To say the Torah that God doesn't like ties that are a little loud or something. Old can't afford a new tie. Doesn't like old style suits with 2 slits in the back, one slit in the back. Doesn't say anything to the Torah that God doesn't like this style from 5 years ago. But it does say clearly what God is disgusted. So if I just train myself to love what God loves, and love the people God loves, and despise the thing that God despises, I'll be a happy person. And I'll just accept everything from God, and it'll be fine. And my good friend, Moshe Krauss, from Yerushalayim, my guest 2 weeks ago, told me the story about Rabbi Yankiv Yosef of Polnoya. Rabbi Yankiv Yosef, you know, was one of the earliest disciples of Baal Shem Tov, wrote the first Hasidic Sefer called the Toldos Yankiv Yosef. And that the very first Hasidic Sefer that he published was the Toldos Yankiv Yosef in the 1700s. And he originally was a shtark misnagid, very anti-Hasidim, a big rav, a big lamdan, very, had no time for this Hasidic stuff. And eventually the Baal Shem won him over. He was still a very tough person. And once he was invited to a bris, and somehow he came a little bit late. But still, a captain. And a captain, it's like Shammai was a captain. And he wasn't a captain, Stammai was the head of Cheshbon. But nevertheless, he's still a captain. And it says in Pirkei Avos, like a captain Malame, the person who takes offense easily, and takes umbrage easily, and is very sensitive, and resents things, and takes things hard, will not be a good teacher. So the Maisa, he came to this bris and he was upset. So the people were very scared, because they know that whether it's right or wrong, 100%, but he's a big person. And if a big person's upset with you, don't mess with big people. And they were nervous. Well, okay. So the bris, they were sitting down to the suda of the bris, at least. They missed the ceremony. Here's the suda. And he's sitting up front. Everyone's sitting on tables. And in comes a total stranger. And the stranger, no one recognized it. It looked like a very strange stranger. Sits down at one of the tables. And people say to him, where do you come from?
He says, no.
So Zionist, whatever it'll be, it'll be. Oh, what's your name? So Zionist, whatever it is. You want something to eat? What do you want to eat? We'll give you a guest, a clinic guy. What do you like to eat? So Zionist, whatever it is, it is. So Zionist, every question he asked him was like ridiculous. It's litany over and over again. Zolzaina Zoy, should be like that, whatever it is, it is. So a shikl commotion erupted. They were a little getting nervous by the strange character. So Bianca Vyasev asked, what's going on? So the people ran over to him and said, there's a strange guy just walked in over here. Everything we ask is Zolzaina Zoy, Zolzaina Zoy. So he said, bring him over to me. So they go to bring the man over, and he's gone. He just disappeared. Plates on the table, and he disappeared. Never to return. So Bianca said, Rabbi Sevai Stois, this was Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi came to the Bris in this fashion to teach me a lesson. I am a captain. I'm a person who takes umbrage and offense very easily. Too much so. And the Eliyahu HaNavi wanted to teach me that everything happens in life. You say, no, Zolzayin HaZoy. Okay, if that's how Hashem wanted it to be, Zolzayin HaZoy, let it be like that. So be it. In more poetic prose, we would say, so be it. Azoy das, zolzayin azoy. That's how God wants it, so be it. And we shouldn't take ourselves so seriously, and just the opposite. All these untoward things that happen to us are for the sake of teaching us, don't take ourselves seriously, and don't get so offended, and don't get bent out of shape, and don't take yourself, everything has to be my way. And it's exactly what Zolzai Azoy, let it be like Hashem wants it. It's a very simple formula. And if you learn that, says the Chavis Levavis, we would say, what Hashem wants. If this is what Hashem dishes out to me, it's from Hashem. But the beauty is, if we look at life through God's eyes, we have this supernatural power that we don't need eyes of flesh and blood. We don't need ears of flesh and blood. We don't need senses of flesh and blood. We can mamish transcend the limitations of the body, and we live on a much higher plane. That's if a person lives sensing Hashem is looking into our pneumas. This, I think, was there are many, many wonderful meditations. That was one last one that I wanted to share with you. So, Mitzvah next week, so I think we have finished the Shach Heshma Nefesh. We can rejoice, like a seam of some sort. And next week, I think we'll start a new Shar Bez Hashem next Sunday morning. And we also have a Sunday before Yom Kippur. So we have lots of time. Do we have a Siyam? We had an official Siyam last year when we finished. So what are you going to do about Siyam, Tak? I don't think I see him. So who's it? We had breakfast. What did we do? We had a breakfast. It was Erev Yom Kippur. So we will save our Siyam for Erev Yom Kippur. This week is Erev Erev. What? Well, Sunday last year. Well, we'll have to plan to see him. Next Sunday, we have to have a see him. Next Sunday? Next Sunday, we'll have shlichus, and then we'll have a see him. Yeah, okay, we'll discuss it. Okay, we'll have the shir and the see him next week, Rabbi Sai. Okay, Mr. Shabbat.